episode 112, day 101 here in the Zen Room. My name is Patrick Finn, and I am here with the lugubrious Tommy Gibbons.
Hi, bitches.
And how are you tonight, Tommy?
I'm okay.
Just okay?
You? Just okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm still sick.
Still sick? You don't sound it.
I'll cough later, you'll hear.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah, it's like breaking up. It's just taking forever. It's a congestion in me that just is taking forever to go away.
Yeah, that sounds like Steven, because he's had an ear infection now for like almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, I haven't been able to hear. I couldn't see the show this weekend because I couldn't hear it. Like, I went in and sat ready to see it, and I was like, act one, I walked out, I was like, I can't hear a fucking thing.
Right.
So.
Yes, it was a busy weekend in Lindenhurst for theaters.
Yeah, well, all that opening usually is.
You had an opening for See How They Run Part 2. At Studio Theater.
Yeah.
And we had the opening of Bus Stop at South Shore Theater Experience.
What happened up the block further? Further up
at Baca, there was the East Line Theater doing a play called Trouble in Mind, which our friend Sheila Barksdale is starring in.
Oh, so we can give Sheila a plug.
Yes, we can always give Sheila a plug. We love Sheila.
Okay, that's be careful how you use words.
Give her a plug, you
mean?
Yeah,
I don't like it. I don't like it.
But yes, all three theaters had shows opening this weekend.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, that time of year, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Pick it up.
So, anything else now?
No.
No? Everything else good, though?
Yeah, everything is just wonderful.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing, I guess. If that's the case, then I guess we'll move on to our first segment. You said something, Tommy?
That was a terrible opening.
Why? We had nothing else to say, so...
Because of me. It was terrible because of me.
Would you care to amend it, then?
No. I mean, it was just terrible.
No, it was very short, truncated, brief opening.
Yeah, did you have anything to, like, contribute to...
No, just we were very busy at the theater with Bus Stop all weekend, you know?
Okay. All right, so it's more of the same for the both of us.
Yeah. So... I can go into our first segment then?
I wish you would.
Okay. Well, for those of you who just heard the lesbians, that means it's time for some heavy petting. And for some dog news, I found a site. It's a medical website called STAT. S-T-A-T.
STAT.
Yes. And they had an article in there about how Prozac prescriptions for dogs are on the rise.
Oh.
Mirroring the rise of such medications among humans.
Okay.
And they talked about how, you know, basically since the pandemic, these medications have generally gone up in use by humans, but it also seems to be going up among dogs as well.
On purpose?
What's that?
On purpose? Like this is prescribed?
Yes, this is all prescribed medication.
Okay.
But one of the things that I was reading about the article, they talk about this pet-approved version of Prozac called Reconcile. I guess regular Prozac sells for about $10 to $15 a month, and this drug Reconcile is more expensive. But then the article goes on to say that training courses and specialized behaviorists can run into thousands of dollars. So for many people, this is an easy choice. I got problems with that. I got problems with, let's feed drugs to our dogs right away because they're barking too much or they're doing this wrong or whatever.
What? Oh, did you object when they started doing it to their children?
Yeah, I don't believe they should be giving those kind of drugs to children,
okay.
I'll tell you the truth.
Okay.
Unless there's extremely abnormal behavior, yes, I can see it being applied. But I think these drugs are being misused, both by parents on children and on dog owners on dogs. Years ago, you never had these kind of medications for dogs.
No.
You know? They've only become a new thing, I'd say, in the past decade, maybe? If not longer? And I got real problems with that.
So that
you're
going like
to drug your dog.
Drugging the dog into submission.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big... I mean, let's put it this way. We've given... Daniel. We've given Abigail...
Oh.
I know.
And then you got to go back and confirm it.
We've given Abigail, like, half a CBD treat before she goes to the groomer. Because she gets very anxious at the groomer, will be nipping at the groomer. So we give her half a CBD treat, and she's relaxed for that.
Okay, that's hilarious. Louis is not the same.
What do you mean?
He gets very excited. He gets very hyper. He gets very excited. He's got a lot of energy that I am not expelling. You know, he doesn't want to go to the dog park.
Anyway, okay.
He could use maybe Louie. He has never had any, and there are no plans. But I could see where it might help him.
Oh, a CBD, you mean?
No.
No? What, the other drugs like Prozac for dogs?
Yeah.
Okay. But do you think you'd ever give it to him?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't have that kind of money.
You don't have about, what, $20 a month?
You said it was $20 a month for human Prozac.
No, I said for human Prozac, it's about $10 to $15 per month, according to this article. And that the dog version is slightly more expensive. So let's say $20 to $25.
Because everything veterinary is like 3-4 times more expensive than anything.
I know, right?
They get anxiety. I don't think it's necessarily like a, I don't know. Like, if you know she's going to be in an anxious situation, so you prepare ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
and you give her, and maybe a half a CBD is adorable for a 14-pound can.
Right.
The beast I got, who's abnormally large for his breed, supposedly.
Okay.
He's just psycho. He's just psycho.
He's a ball of energy.
He's a psycho, is what he is.
Okay.
And, like, he's openly defiant, there's a constant, like, I don't have to listen to you, but you see when we're here what he's like.
Yes.
He doesn't let me out of his sight.
Of course not.
He's up on me all the time. But no, he's a psycho. He could definitely use, and I have no toys for him.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing but the yak.
All right, so maybe get him a few more toys.
Well, no, he eats it. He can't have any toys because he eats everything.
Okay.
He consumes it. He eats it. He swallows the remnants of stuffed animals and plastic things.
Right.
He eats them.
Okay, but that's any dog can do that, you know?
Any dog can do that. But and any dog owner who allows it after pulling cord and skins of what do I want to say, stuffed animal,
right,
out of his ass, because we're lucky enough it got to here, it didn't wrap around some sort of something else on the way down. No, so he can't, because he, and I think that makes him a little crazy.
Okay.
He's got that still energy that there's no way for him to express.
Okay.
So I think...
But you don't see yourself ever giving him any medication to change that?
No, probably not.
Okay.
I just try to give him as much of the fucking yak as I can.
What is the yak that you're referring to?
It's yak cheese.
Yak cheese.
I brought a small piece.
Did bring some over, I remember now.
Yes. So, yeah, that's because he can eat it.
Yeah.
He can swallow it.
What effect does that yak cheese have on him?
It gives him something to chew and swallow.
Does it last a long time?
It depends on the yak cheese. It depends on, I guess, his current anxiety levels.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that, but each yak lasts about a week.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah, and it's important. It's the only thing, because he chews like a motherfucker, and that's fine, because that's easy enough to, but you got to swallow everything, plastic, pieces of, whatever. So, yeah. I can see where that might be useful for some dogs.
Yeah. I mean, if you have dogs that are, like, continually engaging in abnormal behavior for a dog, I could possibly see it. But I think there are dog owners who are saying, my dog never stops barking. I'm going to give him some Prozac. It's like, dogs bark.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They bark. And if you don't like the dog, then train the dog. I think of an experience we had with Abigail. After she had got bitten by another dog while we were going out for a walk. And after that, she did not want to go out for walks anymore. So I looked up online to see some behavioral advice for dogs in a situation like this. And basically, I had to retrain Abigail in going for a walk. And that meant using treats just to, you know, put on her harness on her. And taking the harness off just so she got used to doing that and giving her treats to reward her. Then when she went out, I would give her like small treats along the way. And eventually, She went back to her normal behavior.
Okay.
She had no problems now going out for a walk now or anything. She never got along with other dogs to begin with, but around bigger dogs, she's still a bit hesitant ever since she got bit. But I didn't require medication, I did it myself, you know? And that's what you people got to do is spend time with your dogs. I don't think people spend enough time with their dogs to necessarily to address problems like that.
It's hard. People have lives, bitch. The dog's got to fit into my life.
Oh, the dog's got to fit into your life.
That's exactly right. And that's why some dogs are so much more successful at that. I should probably have a basset hound.
Okay, why?
Just some sort of big, lazy, lay-there dog. Okay, this dog's got way too much energy, and he needs too much. So, but he's my Louie. You know, he's an asshole, but he's my asshole.
Right. So,
yeah, I get that. Okay. I totally get that, you know.
I don't know. I'm also afraid, would a dog become addicted to medication like that, like humans do?
I suppose. Why not?
Yeah, I suppose it's a real possibility that a dog comes to rely on the medication.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have to look further into that. I've wondered that. Can dogs become addicted to that stuff? I haven't seen anything online about that so far.
Me either, but I ain't looked.
That's a good reason why you didn't find it then.
I suppose maybe they could become addicted. Why wouldn't they?
I know. But I guess we'll find out more in the future. In the meantime, we're going to move on to our Dictionary of Dogs, our Canine Compendium.
Okay.
And we are now up to the letter D.
D.
Yeah. You're not going to get this one, I can tell you that.
Dachshund?
Nope.
Dog de air?
Nope.
No? I don't know.
This one's called...
Doberman Pinscher.
No, but that's a good guess, though. This one's called the Dandy Dinmont Terrier.
Okay.
It's named after a fictional character in a novel by Sir Walter Scott. And there was a character in there called Dandy Dinmont, who is thought to be partly based on a real person named James Davidson, who is credited as the originator of this dog breed. It's the only dog named after a fictional character.
Does it have, like, a rainbow coat?
Now I can show you exactly what kind of coat it
How
has.
How gay is this dog?
That.
Oh, that's gay.
Is the Dandy Dinmont.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's the Dandy Dinmont. That's exactly what he would look like.
It is, the dog is about 18 to 24 pounds, grows to about 8 to 11 inches tall. The colors are pepper and mustard. It has a life expectancy of 11 to 13 years. It has a very long body and short legs and a distinctive top knot of hair on its head.
Okay.
The coat is silky.
Silky.
Yes, they are considered friendly but tough dogs and suitable for interaction with older children.
Oh, yeah, because that dog has an attitude about itself.
Yes, you can definitely tell that.
It's bred to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cute dog.
Yeah, he's sweet.
But because of its short legs, it has difficulty climbing stairs.
Well, that's how you get away from it.
Yeah, right. It also can be affected by spinal problems due to the long body.
Long body, short legs.
Yeah. And it is also prone to canine cancer at a higher than average rate for other dogs.
All right, maybe they bred a little too close to the Dopey Dandy?
The Dandy Dinmont.
Dandy Dinmont?
But the dog originated on the borderlands between England and Scotland.
Yes, it would.
It was used for hunting otters and badgers. They're known for their ability to dig large holes in a short amount of time.
Okay, that can be very important.
They can be trained to be good with cats, but should not be trusted around smaller animals such as hamsters or rats.
Are they going to kill it?
Yes, exactly. They are described as being prone to challenging other animals.
Maybe Louis needs to kill something. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that would satisfy his urges?
I don't know. It helps satisfy a few of mine.
Hello, Stephen.
I know it helps satisfy a few.
Stephen just came in and brought some Entenmann's donut holes. But that's the story of the Dandy Dinmont.
Okay.
We normally move on to today's birthdays, But there were no birthdays of any significance to celebrate this week.
Is that true?
Well, today, yeah, there was really no major birthdays.
What's today's date?
April 10th.
Huh?
Yeah, there were no biggies. I mean, there were some actors on there and musicians, but I was like, nah, none of them are big names.
Listen, if I don't have to hear that little bitch just sing, I'm all for it. Let's move on.
And then we would normally move on to Bring Out Your Dead. But no one of significance died this past week.
You know, this is getting out of hand. It happens more often than not that there's nobody worth talking about who died.
Yes. A lot of people die, but no one that you would know about or would be a big name or anything like that.
Wow, that's just crazy. That's I'm trusting the research department.
The research department works very hard.
I'm saying I'm trusting them.
So in that case, we will move on to our next segment.
Okay.
Today in history. And today in history, this novel was published on April 10th, 1925. It is considered the great American novel by some.
Gatsby?
Yes, The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
What's the F stand for?
I don't know off the top of my head. Francis?
Well, that would be obvious.
Yeah.
Then you got Francis Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah, well, maybe it's Ferdinand.
Who would do that?
Or Felix?
It's probably not Ferdinand. It could be Felix.
Should we look it up to find out?
H. Holmes? What is it? H.
That's the serial killer, H.H. Holmes.
H. Murray yes. Abraham?
But the F in F. Oh. Scott, it stands for Francis.
Francis.
Yeah, his full name was Francis Scott Key Fitzgerald.
That's some Revolutionary War fucking heroes.
I guess so, yeah. Have you ever read The Great Gatsby?
I have.
And did you like the novel?
I did.
I didn't.
Okay.
I like the writing. The writing's beautiful and stuff. I didn't like a single character in that novel.
That's very true.
A single one. There was not one of them I liked.
That's how I felt about Dear Evan Hansen.
That's another musical I don't care for. Yeah.
There's a play, Great Gatsby play that I staged. That's really
good. Yes,
that's,
I saw that.
That's not bad.
Yeah, the high school production.
Yeah.
And that was actually good, I thought.
Yeah. But yeah, I Nick, we don't like Nick. Do we not like Nick?
No. Well, let's put it this way. Do you think Nick's gay or bisexual?
Probably.
I think he is, too. There's just too many scenes in there that, yeah, he's got to be gay.
Yeah, and there's no reason for him really not to be. Yeah, I...
But I don't know if I like the character, you know?
Okay. Well, you're entitled. You're allowed.
I definitely don't like Gatsby. I don't like Daisy. I don't like Tom. I don't like these characters at all.
What about... Tom's wife? No, she's pretty much a shrew.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of The Great Gatsby. I know, which is like heresy among some people, but...
No, I don't give a fuck. I liked it.
But today in history, on April 10th, 1970... this momentous announcement came that affected the history of pop music. When Paul McCartney announced that he was leaving the Beatles for personal and professional reasons.
Okay.
Effectively ending the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Now, what was not known at this time was that John Lennon had already left the group.
Right.
But he kept it quiet because he didn't want to affect the sales of the Let It Be album that was coming out.
Right.
So he kept it quiet. But then McCartney announced it on Today and back in 1970. And then he filed a suit for the band's formal dissolution in December of that year.
Well, is such a thing necessary, or did you just have to not show up at practice?
No, because they had formed Apple Corps. So they had to dissolve the company and distribute the assets and oversee the finances. So were you even born when the Beatles broke up?
What year?
1970?
Yeah.
Okay, how old were you then?
Three.
Oh my God, I was 8 years old at that time. And I remember it was just such a horrible event when that happened.
Yeah, I didn't care.
You didn't care?
I was three.
So yeah, that was a very sad announcement in history. So I guess we'll move on to our next segment then.
What day is it? Could you please tell me? What day is it?
has this time for? What day is it?
It's sibling day.
Yes, it is. Very good. Do you have any siblings?
I do.
Yes. How many siblings do you have?
Six.
Six? Are they brothers and sisters?
They are. Yes. They are one sister and the rest are brothers.
Wow. Good Irish family.
Whatever the hell you want to call it. That's what it was.
And where do you come in that number?
Of the seven.
Yes.
I am sixth.
Oh, so you're near the end of the line.
I am.
You're one of the babies of the family.
Yes, that's until the baby was born. Then all bets were off.
Aww. Yes, I have two brothers myself, both older.
Okay.
One is my oldest brother, Tommy. And my second brother was my brother, Richard, who unfortunately passed away several years ago.
Okay.
But yeah, but today we celebrate Siblings Day.
Siblings Day.
Yes. But that's not all what today is. Would you care to take a guess at what else today is?
Even with a mouthful of iceberg lettuce, International Day of Women's Suffrage.
No. Although that is an actual day, but it's not today.
Okay. Oatmeal Cookie Day?
Nope.
Flip-flop Day?
No, but I like that one.
Okay.
Today is National Erase Self-Negativity Day.
Oh.
In which we encourage people to take steps toward erasing the influence that negative self-talk has on our lives. Would you say that you engage in self-negativity?
I do.
Yes?
Almost as a hobby.
Really?
No, no.
Do you think that affects your mood or behavior at all by doing that?
Mostly when people bring it up in shit like this. That's when I find it affects my mood.
Has it lowered your self-esteem?
Yeah.
Then maybe you should engage in behaviors where you're not criticizing yourself or being self-negative.
Such as?
And that would help raise your self-esteem.
Like punching you in the throat?
Maybe, if that will do the trick.
No, but it's just... yeah, okay. So, yeah, just shut up, Patrick. Just shut the fuck up.
Oh, am I hitting a tender spot?
You're not. You're just wasting your time. I'm going to eat my salad.
Oh, you eat your salad. Eat it!
You got problems. You're twisted?
Yes.
Yes.
And this is a revelation how?
You got problems.
Yeah, one sitting right next to me. Well, we now move on. Normally we would do turn your head and cough, but we have no health issues to discuss again this week.
Well,
I may eliminate this segment soon, you know?
Well,
it's not a lot of health stuff coming up lately.
Okay. I mean, it seems sort of a major news topic all the time.
Like what?
I don't know. Like if you go to a...
Pandemic's over. There's no new diseases on the rise.
But maybe if you go to you know what? Yeah, it's weird how there's no health news. That's bizarre, but it's, you know, that's what it is. I guess it's cyclical.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
So, to be continued.
Cut the segment.
In the meantime, then, we will move on to our next segment, wherein we take a look into my briefs. And this week's look, we go to federal court in Florida. Where today in Tallahassee, a federal judge ruled that a transgender woman teacher no longer has to be referred to as Mr. or teacher in the classroom, citing First Amendment protections. Instead, she can now use Ms. and female pronouns. The court started off its ruling by saying, once again, the state of Florida has a First Amendment problem.
Oh, God.
It has occurred so frequently of late, some might say you can set your clock by it.
Oh, man.
The question before this court is whether the First Amendment allows the state to dictate, without limitation, how public school teachers refer to themselves when communicating with students. The answer is a thunderous no.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is. And it basically, this follows a passage of a law in Florida which had mandated that teachers could not use pronouns that do not correspond to his or her sex. But Judge Mark Walker, enjoined the state from enforcing the law against the teacher, saying the state has not justified this restraint And so the U.S. Constitution does not tolerate it.
Absolutely not.
Right?
Why can't he? Prove it. See, that's what's happening.
What's that?
He gets to prove it. Evidence.
Yes.
You have to have some.
Well, in this case, the court had to show a, I'm not sure what the standard is, whether it's compelling interest or significant interest, as they, different interest levels.
Show enough.
But enough to say that this justifies the law.
And according to this Supreme Court of Florida?
This was a federal court in Tallahassee, Florida.
A federal court. All right. Okay.
So the court stood up for the teacher.
And the First Amendment.
Yes, and the First Amendment, too, which is a good thing. Now, God knows if we're going to see Florida repeal this, but as of right now, this law is no longer in effect.
That would be just like Florida to do.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I could see DeSantis telling his lawyers, you know, appeal this to a higher court.
He's such a petty bitch.
Yes, he is.
All right, tell me.
But also in this week's Look Into My Briefs, we take a look at Trump's upcoming trial next week.
All right.
In this case, this is the trial for which he paid off Stormy Daniels to basically quench, to kill her story about them having sex, and that he paid her off to keep her quiet during his election campaign.
But that's not what the charges are.
I'm not sure what the exact charge is, but...
The charges are for falsifying the business record.
Yes, for falsifying, because they wrote it off as a business expense.
Right.
And Trump denied knowing anything about it, because he said his lawyer, Michael Cohen, took care of it all. But the records, they found the records indicating how they tried to list it as a business expense. So he can't deny he didn't know about it.
No, of course he knew about it. Yeah.
What's been amazing is all these last-minute motions he's been making now to stop this trial. He made another one today?
Another one today, yeah.
I mean, I know he sued the judge pursuant to Article 78 to delay the trial, saying the judge is biased.
Right.
He's been trying to have the trial moved out of New York State.
Yeah.
He's been trying every trick in the book so far to have this trial delayed. And so far, the courts have been saying, no, you're going to trial next week.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was today. It was another seemingly lame sort of wah. Unfair.
Well, he also wanted the delay of the trial because of the appeal he made to the Supreme Court to rule on his claim of total immunity.
That was it.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah,
that was it. Which is everything about the Supreme Court deciding about... It was just so sketchy.
Why?
Everything about this thing, I mean, in regards specifically to deciding whether or not he's immune or any president is immune, the way the Supreme Court has been handling this, Jack Smith says, all right, so tell us. You got to decide. There's all these cases.
He's basically saying, you got to decide this now.
You have to tell me. And they said no.
Yeah, they held off.
And until...
Oral arguments, I think, aren't until April 25th.
No, but, I mean, to even hear it, Trump had to make some sort of complaint about it. Oh, God, I forget the details, because they change every fucking day.
I know. It's hard to keep track of sometimes, because of all these different trials.
It's crazy. I don't remember.
But I look forward to watching that trial. Unfortunately, it will probably not be televised, but I wish it was.
I don't think it will be.
No, I don't think so either.
But he's got to be there.
Yes, he does. It's a criminal trial. He has to be there every day for
every day.
Yep.
Every day.
So he can't go out campaigning. In the meantime, Joe Biden's been running all over the country campaigning.
Yeah. Well, Trump is, you know, they're gagging me.
Yeah.
He's protesting the gag order.
Well, that too. Yeah, he's appealing the gag order against him as well.
If you stop threatening people, you big idiot.
And he wanted to stop the trial because of that. And they're like, nope, you can go on the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So, finally, he's going to answer. Answer to justice, you know? It's about fucking time.
Yep, but I want it to be Jack Smith.
Well, this is not his trial.
No, I know.
This is a New York State case. Alvin Bragg's the DA on it.
And... Jack Smith is up against that dingbat in Florida.
Oh, the judge, Judge Cannon down in Florida, yeah. She's another one that he's, that's why he's like pushing the court, you got to rule on this. And people are hoping that she'll eventually be removed from that trial because of the insane rulings that she's been making.
Well, that's what it is. She's proving herself to be totally incapable of this job.
She's never done a trial before. She has no trial experience. But she was a Trump crony. But she has no business to be handling this trial.
She has no business.
At all.
And with every ruling and every time he comes back and he's like talking to her like she's five in the most professional legal language.
Yeah.
Available to him. I don't know, man. This guy's a star.
I know.
Yeah, he's a fucking star. But anyway. Neither here nor there.
Well, that's it for this week's Look Into My Briefs.
All right. There's a lot going on.
We now move on to our next segment.
Fascism in the Week.
Yes, indeed. It is time for the Week in Fascism. I love those bomb sounds landing.
Right? I was hearing them tonight, too, for the first time. Like,
those are very, they're very distinctive sounding.
They
right?
are. I'm wondering, are they a sound effect on top of the whistle, or are they like orchestrated kettle drums?
Yeah, I can see that too, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, for this week in fascism, as we've talked about, Trump has appealed this presidential immunity claim to the U.S. Supreme Court. A bunch of retired four-star admirals and generals, along with former secretaries of the Army, Navy, and Air Force, filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court. An amicus brief basically means a friend of the court brief. They're not a party to the action, but they have an interest in the outcome, therefore they're submitting this brief.
Just so you know.
Yeah. So, in this brief, they basically wrote, "We risk jeopardizing America's standing as a guardian of democracy in the world and further feeding the spread of authoritarianism, thereby threatening the national security of the United States and democracies around the world if they found that Trump had total immunity."
Mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. But what?
The fact that these retired military personnel and former heads of the armed forces, that's kind of unheard of. That they would file a brief like this.
All right.
But they're so afraid of what Trump is and what he could be if the Supreme Court recognized his claim that they filed this brief.
I mean, it's
That's saying something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's intimidating. It's a lot. It's also, you know, just pay attention to the law. What does the law say?
Yeah.
You know, no, this guy is not immune.
I don't see how you could ever say that. I mean, he's claiming total immunity. And when he's claiming that, does he mean just in federal law? Or does he mean at the state laws as well?
Well, that's part of what he filed with the Supreme Court, I think, is tell me if it's not a complete immunity. Tell me what I would be immune from.
Well, that's the thing. When pardons are issued, they're issued for crimes that you were convicted in federal law. You can't be pardoned for crimes in state courts. So that would be the reasoning here then, that if he was granted immunity, it would only be immunity from federal law.
Right, but that's not even
But case. Even then, it would still, you can't do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point of crossing the ocean was to get rid of a guy. You know, it was to create a government without this type of person.
Yeah.
Without this position. We don't like this position, so we want to try this instead.
We don't want a king. We want this.
We want to do this instead.
Yep.
So let's try this. And if it failed, the great American experiment.
Yeah.
It failed spectacularly because it's going to fall right back to the lap it climbed out of.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'll be dead.
To me, it goes back to the whole argument that if there was such an immunity claim, a valid claim of immunity in this, then there'd be no reason for Gerald Ford to have pardoned Nixon.
there'll be no reason for Joe Biden not to personally put a bullet in Donald Trump's head.
Yeah, because he'd be immune under federal law then, or in the state law, whatever. You know, it's totally absurd.
Yeah, it is totally absurd.
And the fact that that the Supreme Court is even considering this, I find ridiculous.
And that,
but all it takes is four justices to have a case heard before them.
They're working toward the delay. They're helping the delay.
Yeah, because you don't know what, I mean, yeah, the oral arguments were, what, April 25th or 26th? How long is it going to take for them to issue their ruling, you know? And then how much will that affect the other trial dates?
Well, you would think the end of the session is what, June?
Yeah, usually we have to know all the decisions are issued.
So you really don't expect much before June. Certainly not in April, certainly not through early May. There's not much news coming out of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the term, but are they required to do, they're required to do nothing. Is it customary for them not to deliver a ruling on a case that they've heard?
I've never heard of that. If they heard a case, they issue a ruling on it. The lightest thing they could do is just say, we're returning this back to the court, the trial court.
All right.
For reconsideration or whatever.
But it's not like they'll...
It's not like they're going to, like, hear the case and then not issue any kind of ruling.
Exactly.
On it.
Okay. Okay.
Like I said, the lightest thing they could do is just refer it back to a lower court to adjudicate the case further.
Which has been done.
Oh, plenty of time. That's common practice. That's nothing unusual.
In this case.
But in this case, in this particular claim, they have to issue a ruling.
Yeah.
It's not something that can be adjudicated further in a lower court. The Supreme Court has to resolve this issue.
Yeah. Ain't that some shit.
I know. So stay tuned for June.
Who's June?
She, I don't know, but she's busting out all over.
She's a whore.
Anyway, we now move on to our next segment. Yes, it's time for We Like to Watch. And what did you watch this week, Tommy?
Something about Prince Andrew and...
It's on my list, too. A movie called Scoop.
Yeah.
Yes, so you saw that, too.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it's this movie on Netflix about this reporter who basically follows up on past rumors about Prince Andrew and his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
That's his name.
And then after Jeffrey Epstein was arrested for sex trafficking and sex with underage girls, the whole rumors about Prince Andrew came up again.
When this guy found that he had taken an unsuspecting picture.
Yes.
Of the two of them together.
Yes, that was taken 10 years prior.
Very incriminating. And he didn't realize he had it.
So yeah.
Now he's got it.
So the movie mostly centers on the person who was responsible for booking guests for this news show called Newsnight. And Gillian Anderson played the news host of that program.
She was really good.
She was very good in that.
Because I didn't think that was her at all.
She was very surprised. She was really, really good in that. But it mostly centers on the booker and all her efforts that she made to get Prince Andrew to agree to this interview. And he does the interview, and it's a disaster.
We know what the result of the interview.
We know. It was a total disaster for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
After which he basically resigned his titles, withdrew from public life as a member of the royal family.
I think his titles were, he was stripped of his titles. He didn't renounce any.
I may have been a combination of both, but I think he gave up certain titles.
He must have. I mean, like ever seeing his daughters again. Although that's probably not true.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm sure that I'm sure that has no effect on it. He hasn't been convicted of a crime. You know?
That's right.
He's never been convicted of anything.
But
it's still hard to believe this is the guy who married Sarah Ferguson all those years ago. It's like, oh my God, this is the same guy. And all the stories we had about Sarah back then. Well, God.
You look at him now, and he's exactly what I feel I am. Like, just this bloated,
stodgy old man.
Version. Like, and I don't even see who I, like, the guy who married Fergie.
Right.
I don't see
You don't see that as being the same person.
It's not. He's got, you know, this fat, bloated guy is totally different than that adorable rapscallion.
Yeah.
Favorite son of the queen.
Right.
Favorite child of the queen.
Yeah. But good movie, I thought.
So,
but what else did you watch this week before besides the movie Stoop? Oh, we're watching
shit. The latest RuPaul.
How's that going?
This is the longest RuPaul in the history of RuPaulism.
Really?
Yeah, it's like 18 episodes.
Oh, my God. Well,
no, it's crazy. It's
Holy like, shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like old-timey TV.
Why is it so long?
Because it's RuPaul's Drag Race. It's the flagship show.
Okay.
It's the 16th season. And it's probably the best fucking show on television right now. I swear to God.
I know you're not alone in that position. It's I know other so people feel the same good. Way.
It's, and so what they have now is their top three.
Okay.
Okay. So there's always a reunion episode, especially for the flagship series. There's usually, so this time, the reunion episode, which airs Friday, is a RuPaul SmackDown Lollapalooza lip sync.
God.
So one of the girls who has been cut, all of the girls who have been cut are competing.
Okay.
For $50,000 that they're gonna be awarded that night.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the reunion show.
Oh my is God. There is
it's a SmackDown for the Crown Lollapalooza, whatever it is. It's always something like that. so that's gonna be the next episode. And there was one girl who sent I think three or four girls home. She was the lip sync assassin. And what it was basically was that she does all these acrobatics. So that's always cool.
Yeah.
Acrobatics make Mama Ru laugh. If Ru laughs, you score higher.
Okay.
If you make Ru laugh at any time, at any point when you're in front of him, to make him laugh is the goal. Oh, always. That's the goal. And he's generous with it. I also hear he can be a little cunty.
No.
Yeah.
No. Shocking. Shocking.
I want that book. I want his book.
Oh, his new memoir or whatever?
So I discovered, not that this, books on film. Not books on film, books on
audio.
Audio tape.
Yes.
So the, I don't like it now.
Well, you did Barbara's book on audio. Well,
the first one I ever did was Harvey Fierstein's.
Oh, okay.
And Harvey Fierstein narrating Harvey Fierstein's life. At that moment, for me, was exactly what the universe would design to happen. Only he could, really tell that story.
Yeah.
And to hear him tell it is fantastic. So Barbara, me and Barbara, we go back, for fuck's sake, you know? Like, I came out using the Yentl soundtrack, you know what I mean? Like, it was there. Always, she was there. And so I was reading her book. And I realized I might be dead before I finish this fucking book. And that's when it occurred to somebody had said something about listening to it. And I was like, oh, let me see if I can listen to it. So I did it. I just finished it.
Okay, good.
And it's very serious.
I'm not surprised.
And it's fun. Again, okay. It's something else to hear it in that voice.
Yeah.
To hear Barbara tell it. Great little inside things that she never gave up an opportunity to quote a glowing review of herself.
Okay.
Even if they were personal letters or notes sent sort of intimately between a director or an actor or something that somebody was, she never gave up an opportunity to say that somebody else thought that she was a genius.
Right.
Okay. It's an autobiography. This is the moment for that stuff. This is where you put that stuff in your autobiography.
Of course.
But it was very... Now, I'm listening to Patti LuPone's.
Oh, my God.
Which, I have to tell you, is...
It's Patti LuPone.
It's Patti LuPone narrating now it doesn't make any sense to listen to anybody else.
Yeah, of course not.
Not these people. The point of this, of course, is that I have to do RuPaul telling the RuPaul story.
Right.
I'm going to have to do that. But this fucking Patti LuPone book.
Oh, my God. I can imagine. Is
hilarious. She's so fucking entertaining. Like, part of her mother's family was in the mob.
Okay.
So she's going through, like, the lists, and this is the lineup, and then my mother! And like, just, she's so animated, and she's so fucking funny. Patti LuPone telling her story. And I'm only up to now when the acting company disbands. So it's like the early 70s, 75.
You got a long way to go yet.
She just lost her first Tony nomination to the girl who was in to Kelly Bishop for her Chorus Line.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Oh, my God. I am living for Andrew Lloyd Webber. I am living for the story about Andrew Lloyd Webber. I can't wait to hear that. I can't fucking wait.
Oh, my God.
Because she's so funny. So, yeah, nothing else. That's what I've been watching. That's what I've been consuming.
Well, I love such as a... Stephen and I watched a lot the past week. First, on Netflix, we watched this sci-fi limited series called The Three Body Problem.
I saw that.
You actually watched it?
No, I saw that.
Oh, you saw the promos for it? Okay. It's based on a trilogy of these sci-fi novels from China. They were supposed to be very big and popular there. We watched the whole season. It was really good. It's all about this Chinese woman. She's held, made a prisoner during the Cultural Revolution in China. And she's a scientist or whatever, physicist or whatever. And they basically imprison her in this lab that is trying to make contact with extraterrestrial life in outer space.
All right.
And unbeknownst to anyone else at the time, she herself does make contact with someone out there.
Uh-oh.
And then later on in the series, as you find out, spoiler alert, everybody, you may want to spin ahead. They find out that as a result of her contacting them, and then they maintain contact with someone else, they're now coming to destroy the Earth.
Yeah, they want to meet her.
But they're 4 light years away, which is about 400 years away. So now the Earth has to prepare now for their coming.
Okay.
And that's what the first series is about. I'm assuming they're going to make the sequels of, you know, the other books.
All right, so hold on. Let me get my head around this for a second.
It's like dual time. It's like taking place contemporary and then going back to the flashbacks of this woman in China.
Okay. Where are we contemporary? We're now using the 400 years to prepare?
Yes. Now it's in, when the contemporary time takes place, it's in the United States. Is it United States or England? I forget which. But it's no longer in China.
Okay.
But good series, definitely worth watching.
All right.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. Then we watched this fucked up movie on Amazon Prime called The Passenger.
Okay.
I think Danielle may have mentioned it the last time she was here. I don't remember. Fucked up. About this young teenage kid who's working at like some fast food joint. He's very quiet and reserved, very demure. You find out later on how he became that way through an accident that he caused. And then there's this other guy who works with him, who sees the way he's behaving. And this one guy he's like a bully in the store, and he bullies the young kid. So then the other guy goes out to his car, gets a shotgun, shoots him and everyone else in the fast food place. And he decides, he then basically takes the teenager with him, and he's going to teach this kid a lesson about standing up for himself. Okay. Fucked up movie. Very fucked up, but entertaining nonetheless.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really good. I really liked that.
Doesn't sound like something I'll ever watch.
Maybe not, but it was intriguing.
Maybe if I had a boyfriend who, like, took me out or, like, you just stayed home and, like, oh, no, you're going to love this. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. Maybe then. But we all know the chances of that happening.
You never know.
Yeah, I do.
Hope springs eternal.
Hope springs It's annoying.
See, stop with that self-negativity.
Don't point your little fucking chubby Irish finger at me. Patrick, my pain in the ass.
Thank you very much.
So where are we now? What are we talking
about? Well, we also watched a really good movie called Shirley on Netflix about Shirley Chisholm.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Yeah, but I was leaning towards Shirley Valentine.
Okay.
Shirley Chisholm is the senator from...
Well, she was a congressman from Georgia. California. And she was the first black woman elected to Congress.
Okay.
And this is like back in like 70, 71.
Yeah.
And then she decides to run for president.
She was the first woman to ever do that. And she was the first black person
to ever do that. First black person to ever do that. That's right. She had no chance of winning.
No.
She ran anyway.
Yeah.
All the way up to the convention. And even at the convention, she almost finagled a deal where she could have gotten delegates and then been a player in deciding who the nominee was going to be.
Right.
But then she got backstabbed by someone else, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, you know.
But what was amazing about it is there's one character in the film named Barbara, who you later find out at the end of the movie, the real Barbara speaks at the end of the movie.
Okay.
Her name is Barbara Lee. She's a current congresswoman.
Okay.
And saying how much she was inspired by Shirley Chisholm, and now she's a congresswoman. And... it was really good. Regina King played Shirley Chisholm.
Don't know, but okay.
She was excellent. Excellent. Right, excellent. Big thumbs up on that.
Big.
Big thumbs up. Then, on Netflix, we watched a movie that came out last year.
Netflix should be, like, sponsoring us.
I know, right? We talk about enough of their shows and movies.
We talk enough about Trump, too, but I don't think we're going to get a sponsor.
I don't think so.
I take it, though.
But this movie we will watch was called... The Exorcist Believer.
Okay, so is this like the bat story?
No, it takes place like current time. There's no real connection with the original story, except for the fact that they bring back Ellen Burstyn as Chris McNeil, the mother of Regan McNeil. All
right.
And in the movie, she has now become an expert on demonic possession. And she has studied the cases of it in different cultures and everything. And she's eventually brought into this case where these two girls become apparently possessed. It was an okay movie. Not great. I've seen a lot of the sequels, the Exorcist movies. I saw Exorcist 2, which was the worst one in the bunch. I saw Exorcist 3 with George C. Scott, which actually was pretty good. I recommend seeing that one. I didn't see any of the other ones after that until I saw this one. And none of them, of course, will match up with the original. But what I don't like about these movies, especially horror movies in general nowadays, it's all very generic paint-by-numbers filmmaking.
Okay.
Like when William Friedkin, an established director, he established mood and atmosphere and tension to this movie. And it's not like he did horror movies normally. You know, he did all types of movies.
He did a lot of horror movies.
Well, he did Cruising, which was not a horror movie. It's a murder mystery.
Well, depending upon what, you know. Anyway.
But that's what I find lacking in these horror movies today. They're very paint by numbers, cookie cutter, done. They're not as good. They're not as good. There are very few movies where the director can make his mark on the genre, you know? You don't see that. The genre.
The genre.
So, you can pass on that movie.
All right. Good.
Then, lastly, we watched this documentary on Netflix called The Antisocial Network.
Okay.
Which was really good. Big thumbs up. Let me get a drink here. It's about basically the progression of internet history from the establishment of 4chan, which I'm sure you've heard of.
Yeah.
And it goes through the origins of Anonymous, then all their relations to Occupy Wall Street, then moves on to Gamergate, then goes on to 8chan, and then moves on to QAnon, Pizzagate, and then January 6th. And it basically shows how 4chan was started as it was like an imitation of this thing in Japan called 2chan, which is supposed to be this anonymous fun site where people could post shit on. But in Japan, it went south because it became too political and it became a disaster. And the same thing happened with 4chan here. That it went from being humorous and pulling harmless pranks to becoming something else. It evolved. And you watch this thing, it's like, I shouldn't be on the internet.
What's it called?
The Anti-Social Network.
Anti-Social Network.
Really, really good. I learned things that I didn't know before.
Well, you can't learn something you already knew.
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
But things I had not heard about in the news or from reading, I finally heard about in this documentary. So, yeah, big thumbs up on that. Definitely big check thumbs. Out that.
That and Shirley Chisholm.
Yep. And then finally...
Yo, this last one was finally.
I know. Well, this is not my final video. Now we're moving on to literature.
Oh, God.
I finally finished a book. It was a biography of James Joyce. Took me about 2 years to finally finish. I just kept putting it down, picking it up. Finally finished it.
That's me with the Barack Obama book.
It was a good book. Except it just went on too much with how much he owed people money all the time. But his constant moves, because he couldn't afford to stay at places. He had benefactors who would give him money. And then he would spend it on staying at expensive hotels and lavish dinners. But he was a genius. So I guess that's why they put up with him.
I guess.
But after I finished that, then I picked up a new book by Rachel Maddow.
Okay.
Called Prequel.
Okay, that's a podcast.
I know she has a podcast. I'm sure she's discussed it on there. But what this book is about is basically the rise of fascism in the United States in the 1930s.
This was a podcast, specifically this.
Okay.
Called Prequel.
I didn't know that. Okay.
That's because why, when I told you, you thought I was just...
Well, I know she has her own podcast.
Finger painting. She does, actually, she does like, she has a couple of them, because she does them in single sort of subjects.
Yeah.
Like this one is this story. There was another one, we're talking about how going back to the fascism in the 30s, there was one about Spiro Agnew.
Okay.
I don't remember what that one was called. There was another one, but yeah, each one of them has their own sort of, and maybe their own book that goes with it.
Maybe it is. But I'm about a third of the way into the book.
All right.
It's really good. And so many of the things that I'm reading, it's like, this is shit that's going on today. Whether we realize it or not.
Right now.
It's the same shit going on today. And it's scary.
It's the same thing, yeah.
It really is. There was one person in the book who I only learned about through doing a play last year called Red. It was about Mark Rothko.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about this architect, Philip Johnson, who designed the Four Seasons restaurant.
Okay.
In the book, it turns out Philip Johnson was a Nazi sympathizer.
Okay.
Who tried to support all these fascist causes in the United States. He tried to get associated with Huey Long.
Well, so was Henry T. Ford.
They talk about him in the book as well. They talk that him I knew about what a rabid anti-Semite Ford was.
Yeah.
But this guy, Philip Johnson, I was like, I just learned about this guy in his play. And it's the same fucking guy. It's like, holy shit. So I definitely recommend the book. Even though I'm only a third of the way, I definitely recommend it.
And look for the podcast. Same title.
Okay.
What's the title?
Prequel.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's the same title.
And that was all I watched and read this week. That was enough.
Yeah, like, get up from the TV.
We now move on to our next segment.
God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Yes, time for Stupid People. And this week, as you may remember, we had a solar eclipse.
We did have a solar eclipse.
And the week before that, we had an earthquake here in the Northeast.
It was just a couple of days before that.
So this week, we're going to honor all the morons
okay.
who ascribed non-natural reasons for the occurrence of the eclipse and the earthquake.
Oh, this is God is judging us.
Well, these are some of the people and what they did.
Go ahead.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee declared a state of an emergency for the eclipse.
Okay.
Why?
Did she say why?
Because they might have a large influx of people there to watch the eclipse. You really okay. need to declare an emergency for that?
All right. Nobody goes to Arkansas ever, but okay.
I know, right? Then Fox News said that undocumented immigrants would use the eclipse as cover yes. to cross the border.
Because they wouldn't be seen because it was dark.
Yes. Like for what? 4 minutes?
4 minutes.
They'd be wearing dark clothes.
Yeah.
Then Rudy Giuliani talks about the earthquake.
Oh, this fucking
This
guy.
Is on his podcast last Friday. He said, we were in the communist state of New York, and then we were in Connecticut, and we just escaped all the earthquakes. Then we got to Massachusetts, which probably had some earthquakes, and we got to New Hampshire, where there were no earthquakes, which is telling me that somebody's sending a message. The communist states are getting earthquakes. Look at California. You can't have more earthquakes in California. You want to figure out why? Now they're going to say I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm crazy. You know why? Because they don't have a sense of humor. They're not even human anymore. They're oh, Marxist God. Automatons.
A sense of humor. Because it's funny to learn that the, you know, the tectonic plates underneath California are going to get rid of everything west of whatever.
Right.
You know, it's all going into the ocean. So,
not only that, this earthquake was felt in Connecticut. It was felt as far north as Maine. So, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about,
it's
Rudy?
It's an earthquake. It doesn't need to justify itself to Louis Giuliani.
Right?
No, whatever his fucking name is. Rudy Giuliani.
Then your favorite, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, I hate this bitch.
Sent this tweet out on April 5th. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens.
Yep.
Then 2 days later, she was defending herself against the criticism she received for that. And she wrote, Jesus talked about that in Luke 12:54-56. Yes, eclipses are predictable and earthquakes happen. And we know when comets are passing by. However, God created all of these things and uses them to be signs for those of us who believe.
Good for you. Good for you and for all of the believers. Good for you. You know, at what point do you say, I believed in this with everything I have, and it just continues to shit on me. It just continues to be wrong. Jesus isn't coming.
He didn't come. No one was raptured.
Yeah. No, you know, and they're expecting it still. Well, no, it's going to happen April 22nd. Okay.
But there's more. On April 2nd on Twitter, InfoWars host Alex Jones wrote, major events surrounding the April 8th solar eclipse. Masonic rituals planned worldwide to usher in the new world order.
Okay. To usher in the new... You would think that ushering in a new world order, they'd have to like, well, I don't know, let's start with they'd have to like rent a space. So where are we going to do this ushering?
Yes.
Where are we going to have the ceremony? who's going to be there? We have to practice. You know what I mean?
Like, I know.
You just don't issue in a new world order in the 4 minutes it takes for the sun to get back on the other side of the moon.
Yeah.
Seems obvious to me.
But there's more. On The View, they were talking about the earthquake and the solar eclipse and the coming cicada invasion. Cicada.
The cicadas, yeah.
And co-host Sonny Hostin said, all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that either climate change exists or something is really going on. Climate change has nothing to do with the cicadas coming. That's cyclic. It has nothing to do with eclipses. And it has nothing to do with earthquakes.
Okay.
And then, on regular social media, people are drawing links between the earthquake, the solar eclipse, the cicada invasion, and the lightning bolt that struck the Empire State Building the week before. They're saying they're all linked. Not only that, they're drawing a link between the earthquake, which registered at a 4.8, and the solar eclipse, which occurred on...
April 8th.
4-8.
4-8.
There's a link!
There was a third one.
Oh, there was a comet passing by three planets at the same time as a solar eclipse.
Okay.
That was the other event.
No, there was another 4-8.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It may have been a biblical quote. Anyway, yeah, for they look for anything, to anything, for anything, for an excuse.
These people are so desperate for answers.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
You know?
What is it that you lack?
I mean, humankind's been around for over 5,000 years now. Haven't we learned anything in that time?
Doesn't seem as though
no.
many of us have. I think there are too many of us.
Well, that goes without saying.
I think that what I'm going to call the intellectual decay.
Yep, that too.
Is when did that happen? I think it was a Trump thing. When it was, I love the uneducated. But it happened so fast.
It's even before that. People don't read anymore. You know?
People would keep that quiet and they would lie that they had read so that they would appear to be smart when they were talking to people who they wanted to be. Nobody cares about being smart anymore. Being smart is like a strike against you.
Yeah. You're an elite then.
Yeah. I don't understand that.
No.
At all.
No. Neither do I.
So, you know, I'm trying to get my head around that.
But it's like we haven't progressed much further than the caveman.
No.
That's what it seems like. It's very depressing in a way.
It's very depressing. But we are what we are.
Obviously.
You know, we're just this fucking... What do they call that lives off something else?
Parasite?
Parasite.
Okay.
We're just this parasite on this rock. You know? It's time for... A new parasite.
A new parasite.
We're just so pointless and awful.
I know. I just feel like we're just spinning in a circle.
Yeah.
And getting nowhere.
We are. Around the sun.
Right.
And around the sun. 24 hours, 365 days.
Well.
Leap years. I don't know. I think it's so much. I don't know. Okay, I'm okay.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, to all these morons out there who don't know shit about eclipses or earthquakes, we say...
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you really are.
Doesn't get much more stupid than that. Julie Andrews, save us from the stupidity!
Raindrops on roses... Whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Yes, it's time for five faves.
Five faves, okay.
And today's category, in honor of the, in honor of the Beatles' official dissolution today, back in 1970.
Oh, is that why we're doing this?
Yes.
Because I hated this.
So we were asked to name our five favorite remakes of Beatles songs.
Okay.
Because I know we had done our five favorite Beatles songs.
I'm sure we can. Okay. Stevie Wonder did We Can Work It Out.
He did.
High point of this 1971 signed, sealed, and delivered album.
Ooh, let me find that right now then.
We Can Work It Out by Stevie Wonder.
I never heard that before.
I never heard that either.
So you're just pulling names off of the internet.
Then. I am.
You ass.
I have a really good one coming up.
You're an ass.
I have a really good one. What's yours?
The first one on my list is by the one and only Joe Cocker. And it's not with a little help bump from my friends. Okay. It's another song. She came into the bathroom with the window. She came in through the bathroom window. Great version of that song.
Yeah, that was pretty hot.
Right?
Yeah.
Love Joe Cocker.
That was pretty good.
Excellent. What's your second choice?
Come Together.
By who?
Michael Jackson.
Ooh, I've never heard that one either.
That's that.
I like that.
He follows the ink. He does the song.
I really like that.
As written, oh, it was hot. I actually remember that. I didn't choose it because I remembered it. I chose it because it was here. But I remember it.
Okay.
I do remember it. So what's yours?
Mine is actually the same song.
Okay.
But by a different artist.
So which one?
The Eurythmics.
Oh, I love the Eurythmics. Here come all flat top people, grooving up slowly. He got juju eyeballs, he won. Holy roller, he got head down to his knees. Got to be a joker, he just do what he please. I love that version
of it.
That's great.
I heard that a few years ago for my first time. I'm like, holy shit.
That's a great song.
Right? So that was my number two. What's your number three choice?
All right. We're talking about Al Green, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, my God. That's a cool version.
You fucking mocking me over here with my research.
Only because you never heard the song yourself. I have never pulling them out of the internet's ass.
I'm saying Al Green doing I Want to Hold Your Hand. Yes, please.
You know it's going to be good.
Can I hear that, please? Can I hear that? Yeah, okay. So go ahead.
Okay. My next choice, I didn't know these artists before. Their names were Bob Simon and Eddie Harrison. This is from an album called Memphis Meets the Beatles. And this is a song called The Two of Us that was on the Let It Be album. Right? It's got a nice funky sound to the song. Very different from the original version. So what is your fourth choice?
Across the Universe.
Let me guess. David Bowie.
Oh, don't you mock me. Don't you dare mock me.
Only because I know where you're getting these from. And it's just so obvious.
And maybe David Bowie kicked ass singing this song.
I'm not a big fan of it. I don't think it's that good.
Well,
but I'll play it for you.
I don't care if you play it.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy.
Okay, this is awful. But you know what I think it is?
You picked it.
I don't like this song. Can I pick another one instead?
I guess so.
All right, so I want to go with Here Comes the Sun.
By who?
Nina Simone.
Ah, that's a good choice.
Sorry, David Bowie, but that was really bad.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that version.
Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right. It's all right. Here comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say. It's all right.
You know who she reminds me of singing that? Macy Gray.
Okay. I see that.
Yeah, very similar sound at that point in her career.
Yeah.
Right? But it's a good version, I think. This next song on my list, you're going to hate it. It's an awful version, but it's a classic and memorable version. It's a song by William Shatner.
Oh, my God. Go ahead, play it. I'm a pee.
Picture yourself in a boat. On a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with a sun in her eyes. She's gone!
So did you enjoy that rendition of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds?
I enjoyed my botched colonoscopy much more than...
I found that years ago on an album called The Golden Throats of Hollywood.
Mm.
And it's just classic. You don't get too much worse than that. It's so bad, it's good.
No.
Oh, you don't think it's good at all?
It has not made that loop around yet.
But thank you, Bill Shatner. I always loved that song. What's next on your list?
What do we have? One more?
One more!
All right, here we go. Yesterday. Ray Charles.
Ray Charles doing what song?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now I just know they're here to stay.
There you go.
I wish they had taken the orchestra out. Just have him and the piano.
Maybe.
I think that would sound better. It just sounds a little overdone.
I like the sound of him against the smooth violins.
Yes, true, but I would have, like I said, I would have taken the orchestra out. But that's just me.
Well, you didn't have that job at that time, now, did you?
No, I didn't.
So what happened?
For my fifth and final choice,
okay.
I actually found this one a couple of months ago on YouTube while I was surfing through various videos. And I found this version of I Am the Walrus
okay.
by Jim Carrey.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Let's give it a listen,
shall we? What did the Beatles ever do to you? I am B.S., you are B.S., you are me, and we are all together. This isn't so bad.
No!
Who is this?
Jim Carrey.
So wait, this is... So that's Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey.
Same guy who was the Grinch.
No, wasn't that, I can't remember now.
No, it's Jim Carrey.
I don't remember.
Pet Detective?
Yes, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Yes, okay.
This song was recorded about, I guess about 14 years ago. Recorded this. I don't know what the occasion was. I can't find it on iTunes or anything like that. All I could find was this video on YouTube.
Interesting.
Who and I was like, wow, this is really good. What's that?
Who posted the video?
Someone named Mattis Mass. Whoever that is. There's no like company or anything behind it. So I don't know what the origin of this is. But it's really good.
It's not bad.
Right?
Not
bad at all. I was surprisingly shocked how good it was.
Yeah, he's from Canada.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
So do you have a fifth and final choice?
I gave you my fifth and final.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
To back up, I'm already on to new websites.
Oh, la-ti-da.
Go ahead.
Well, I guess we're done with that segment then.
Yeah.
So we will then move on to our final segment of the evening.
Get off my lawn. Did you hear me? I said get off my lawn now.
Yes, it's time for the Grumpy Old Gay Man Gripe of the Week. And what's your gripe this week, Tommy?
Hold on, I had one. What was my gripe? Where's my fucking gripe? Can't remember. Can't remember.
You can't remember your gripe?
I can't remember my gripe.
You always have a gripe about something.
I do.
You must have one.
I must have a gripe about somebody.
Yes.
With something.
Yes.
With some situation.
Something had to piss you off lately.
Something. Oh. Girl.
Oh, I think we found something.
Something pissed me off.
Uh-oh, what happened?
But I can't talk about it.
Oh, you can't talk about
it? No, because you keep telling people we're doing a podcast. Okay? So they listen now, at least once or twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some of them.
So they wait for you to...
No, nobody's waiting for me to do anything. I'm just not going to hand it to them. You know. So I can't do that one.
Okay. You must have certainly another gripe in your pocket.
Okay. Actors who don't learn their lines.
Good gripe.
Yes.
Good gripe to have.
I believe actors should learn their lines.
Yes, they should.
They should learn them verbatim.
Yes, they should.
And they should learn them verbatim as early as possible.
Agreed.
Being on stage in front of an audience and reading a part that you were given months ago because you don't remember this scene is unacceptable for an actor.
Yes, it is.
Especially an actor who wants to be respected.
Yes.
So, yes, that is my ground. You know going in you have to do this job.
Of course.
You know it. Are you too young, too old, I can't remember, whatever it is. You know going in.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a familiar role.
Yes.
Something that is part of the canon.
Exactly.
Something that if you really were serious, you would go out and get and come in on day one memorized. Because you can get that script.
You
can get those American canon. And this is, let's face it, it's Americana. You get your script anywhere.
Yeah.
Learn your fucking lines, you bitch. Learn your lines.
It's funny, speaking as a director of plays, the very excuses that people give for not learning their lines right away. Like, I need my blocking first.
Yeah, I hate that. That's the worst.
I need my props.
Yeah.
And so as a director, I would, like, give all the blocking within the first 4 days of rehearsal. So therefore, you can't use that as an excuse then for learning your lines. for not learning your
lines.
It's
just a bullshit excuse, you know? Anyway.
And I always give a deadline, like 2 weeks before opening, no more scripts in your hand. You can call for lines during rehearsal, but you need that script out of your hand. And personally, I mean, there are plays where the first day of rehearsal, I'd be off book completely, depending on the play and the role.
If the play is available to you, if it is in public circulation, if you could get a published copy of it, and you don't do that, and you come in to play this part, you better learn the lines.
Yeah. I remember the first Shakespeare play I did, Titus Andronicus. I spent my summer vacation out in Cherry Grove, sitting poolside, learning my fucking lines.
Okay, I don't know if that story is supposed to invoke sympathy or jealousy or just...
But that's how I spent part of my vacation, was learning my lines.
Who cares? You spent part of your vacation on Fire Island, sitting by your pool. What else are you going to do on Fire Island at that pool? What did learning your lines take away from you? Nothing.
But most people wouldn't use that time to learn their lines. I made that sacrifice.
Aren't you special?
Fucking right I am.
Yeah, you're a fucking delight.
But yes, learning your lines is paramount. No excuses. You make the commitment, fulfill it.
It's the first job you have.
And it's the best thing. Get that book out of your hand so you can concentrate on your character and development and your interaction with other actors. Exactly. You can't do it that way. You got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
So that was your gripe. My gripe is about Scrabble.
Oh, stop it. You don't have to go buy this game.
I already own the game.
But so why does this bother you?
Well, let me explain for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. Mm. Scrabble announced earlier this week that they were making a new version of Scrabble, which would be less competitive and less intimidating. And I was like, if you're intimidated by Scrabble, you need to read more. Scrabble is a simple game. It's not always about knowing a vast vocabulary. It's about knowing how to play the board. You know, and getting those extra points for the triple word scores,
so
triple letter scores.
What will this new game look like?
It will now be less competitive, where you're not just spelling words. You have to fulfill certain goals, like using a word with two of the same consonants. And a lot of them are team efforts.
Okay.
And it's like, it just strikes me of this whole everyone gets a trophy attitude. You know? Okay. We can't just have losers and winners. Everyone gets a trophy.
Okay.
And it's like, we're talking about Scrabble, for God's sake. You can't handle being competitive in Scrabble?
Scrabble can be a scary game for some people.
Then they shouldn't play.
Oh, you're a dick. So you're out.
Chess is a scary game.
You're out with all your friends on Fire Island, sitting by the pool, and yeah, you're going to take this break now from learning all of these goddamn lines I have to learn in this game. So we're going to take a break, and let's do this instead. Let's play Scrabble. And so the hot Puerto Rican kid, he don't want to play Scrabble because he don't really know the language too good.
That's fine.
And he don't know too many other words in English.
That's
fine.
So he's
intimidated by playing this game.
That's a valid excuse.
How about somebody who's just stupid?
Then get unstupid.
Okay, see, didn't we talk before about the degradation of intelligence?
Yes, I said part of it was because people don't read enough anymore.
I don't disagree with you.
And I think that applies to Scrabble, too.
I agree with you.
Then why are you busting my balls on
this? Because...
That is what you do.
It's, well, and it's because it's a thing that... why does it bother you? Why does this bother you?
It's just emblematic of the further dumbing down of people and how we're accommodating it. Now, the funny thing is, I asked the opinion of a Scrabble tournament champion, Frank Tangredi.
Okay.
He was a lot more gracious about the whole thing.
Oh, Frank Tangredi was more gracious than you.
Yes.
Oh. My. God.
But one of the things he said was that hopefully through playing this new version, they will eventually be enticed to play the original version.
Which is a certainly sound and reasonable and respectful.
But I'll agree with my friend Andrew Keats. It's Scrabble for pussies.
And should pussies not be allowed to play Scrabble?
Not with those real folk.
No, okay, so you go
ahead. You can play your pussy games by yourself.
You go ahead and make fun of the slower kids.
I put up the excuse of Monopoly. Why don't we change that game? Instead of you're buying up properties to build hotels or make more money than everyone else, have everyone work together, buy all the properties, and instead of hotels, you make farm settlements to generate food for people.
I like this idea. What are you going to call it?
Cooperative.
Cooperative. Like it. Cooperative is probably worth a lot in Scrabble.
If you want team building exercises, go ahead. Don't make them into fucking games. Enough of this shit already.
Wow. Wow.
Learn to compete.
For a game, you don't have to go anywhere near. Nobody has ever asked you to play it.
Play what?
The new Scrabble.
Well, it just came out. It was only announced this past week.
Do you anticipate that any of the people who you know will ever invite you to play the game?
This new one, I doubt it.
Yeah, okay. Or any game.
you fuck.
Yeah, so what fascinates me is how far removed from this you are and how much it bothers you. And what's bothering you is how other people are okay with this.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it bothers me that other people are okay with it. I just said it's emblematic of the continuing dumbing down and how we're accommodating that.
Yeah, it's the how we're accommodating that I sort of hooked on to for the what I said.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah. That's something that you really don't need to gripe about.
Well, I did.
Okay. And we're all better for it.
I could have griped about attorneys, but everyone gripes about attorneys.
In Long Island traffic.
In Long Island traffic.
What's next?
We now come to the conclusion of this week's episode.
You know, this was a rough one. This was hard to pull out. This was difficult.
Well, yeah, because we dropped a few segments.
I had a bumpy start.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
But we got through it.
Yeah.
Unscathed.
So far. Until we find out that you didn't press record, or the volume.
No, all mechanical and technological problems are all resolved.
We're going to find our ass out about that, aren't we? All technical problems are resolved. It's never been that way in the history of technical problems. Anyway,
you can find all of our episodes at www.groupyoldgaymenandtheirdogs.com. And you can follow our postings on Facebook as well. And I think that's it.
Send complaints to Patrick at grumpyoldgaymenandtheirdogs.com.
Or send them to Tommy Gibbons at Tommy Gibbons on Facebook.
I don't have a fucking... Oh, I do have
Yes, that. You do.
I'll just deliver the clothes, or unless you're going to give me the cue. You're going to give me the cue?
I guess we'll bring this to a conclusion then.
Oh, please.
So on that note, we'll say have a good night, have a good week, have a good life, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, bitches.
Sing it out.
All we are saying.